representing His Eminence, our Imperious Leader.
And welcome back to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner, and do not call me Peter Brady. Peter Brady's sitting next to me this week, courtesy of the laryngitis, whoever the hell's wrong with him. The Centurion Consolers, the producer, who is suffering from time to change. How do you say? We got to rearrange. And this is Tuesday night, 7 o'clock in Las Vegas, which means it's 8 o'clock Mountain Time if you're in Denver. 9 o'clock if you're in the Central Time Zone in Chicago, or 10 o'clock if you're in the Eastern Time Zone in New York City. And the website is subject2discussion.com. Email is subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. The program is podcasted as well. Thank you for everybody for podcasting the program, and thank you for everybody for listening to the program. And thank you for everybody in the chat room, all five of us right now. But if you're out there listening, want to get into the chat room, just go to lvrocks.com and click on Cam and Chat. Brings you into the chat room. And tonight, also, the program is archived over on spankwagon.net. Spankwagon's on every Sunday. moving the shows around again. I should be a network programmer. Every Friday from 7 until 9 o'clock Pacific time, followed by King Hesh, which I discovered after how many years I've been here. It's been on for 4 years now. And we congratulate King Hesh, who Khan has got issues with, but we won't get into that. That's a topic for another program. And what else? Also, the subject to discussion is a part of the antiradio.net family of programs, which is actually they list the podcast feed, so I appreciate that. And then trying to take back talk radio from the corporate monopolies that exist in the world, especially here in Las Vegas. It's nothing but corporate radio here. And corporate radio is going down a drain by witnessing the lawsuit last week that CBS filed against Howard Stern. Ridiculous. I mean, here they are trying to sue him for $500 million because he plugged moving to Sirius for a year and 2 years on his radio show. What the hell? Weren't they ever listening? So anyway, and after the news to me, the news to you would be we're going to bring back Michael J.W. Stickings from the reaction.blogspot.com with our political discussion, and also a little bit about the Oscars and as well. And then in the second hour would be Philip Nguyen. He's going to make his return after an accidental no-show from last week. And he's from blogcritics.org. And at the end of the program is Koenig Rules with Battlestar Galactica season finale part one discussion, as well as some spoilers and a Doctor Who preview. So actually, I'm kind of looking more forward to that than I am to this Battlestar Galactica finale, because I've heard rumblings what's going to happen. I'm like, oh, no. Hopefully it's done real well and then we can accept it. But I've heard some, it's like it can be kind of like a twist on the Pam Ewing dream season on Dallas. So hopefully it's done in a way that everybody can accept and not get outraged about. Like I said, jumping the shark. People are on the sci-fi board saying it's going to jump the shark. So I don't know. We'll see. And for right now, we'll go to the news to me. Of course, today we had I found this interesting, that over 80%, I saw this on CNN, over 80% of ports, our seaports here in the United States, are run by companies outside of the U.S. So, I mean, it's not just those six that the UAE is going to take over. 80% of our ports are run by outside companies. So, like I said, I've been thinking about this for a while. And until they change the law about this port business, that only U.S. companies can run U.S. ports, who are we to say this UAE company, DP World, cannot take over this British subsidiary that's been running these ports? I mean, we got the Chinese run ports in California. We got other countries running ports across the country here. What was that? All of a sudden we're racist against the Arab countries, the Middle Eastern people from running the ports. And over in the UAE, as I was watching the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, and he was there, and the military is one of their biggest clients by docking the warships there. So if they can trust this company with the dock the ships at their port, what the hell? I mean, it's good enough for me, I guess, until something happens. But I mean, I'm all for changing the law or enacting a law that says only U.S. companies can run U.S. ports. But until that happens, we gotta go with that company. I mean, it's free market, so we're the country that screams freedom. Let's see if we can pass this test. So, and also yesterday, we had Dana Reeve, and it's Reeve, R-E-E-V-E. Everybody's been butchering her name. Reeves, Christopher Reeves, George Reeves, was the original actor who played Superman in the old series, the black and white series from years ago, and this is Christopher Reeve, singular. His widow, Dana Reeve, died of lung cancer, which she was 44 years old. That's horrible. And she never smoked a day in her life, and yet she came down with lung cancer, and it was only like a year and a half ago, whatever it was, and she died so quick. And they showed her in a hockey player that retired. I forget who it was, Mario Lemieux, I think it was. She was singing to him, and that was in January. So she really it progressed fast, and it, unfortunately, it took her life. So. And then Saturday we had another tape, a tape of the month club, another tape from Al-Qaeda's Al-Zawahiri showed up with him blaming the West for causing the riots by putting those cartoons depicting Muhammad in a bad light. That's still going on, and it's amazing. I mean, I said, we've got to try out Muhammad Ali, have him go out there and do something, and it may all calm that down because these riots are still happening. And on Friday, we had on the CNN's The Situation Room with Jack Cafferty, who's going through the Cafferty file where they send emails into him and he, you know, reads them and he spouts off a lot. He talked about the Senate rejecting an independent office to investigate ethics abuses in Congress. And those who voted against this independent office to investigate ethics against Congress is Senate Democratic Senator Akaka from flushed down my toilet before I left. From Hawaii, Republican Senator Bennett of Utah, Senator Chafee of Rhode Island, Senator Coburn of Oklahoma, Republican Senator Norm Coleman, who sounds like that guy from Bugs Bunny who's hunting him, Elmer Fudd, with the way he talks, and Senator Coleman from Minnesota, Senator Mark Dayton of Ohio, Senator Domenici of New Mexico, Pryor of Arkansas, Stevens of Alaska, he's the one who wants to build the bridge to nowhere, and Pete Voinovich of Ohio, and Senator Warner of Virginia. All those voted against the independent office to investigate ethics abuses in Congress. So horrible, horrible. Like I said, I'm all for, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I like to see the Democrats and the Republicans like hold a house in Congress. Or like I said, when Clinton was in, he was a Democrat, and Republicans held the Congress. That way there's a check and balance. Like I said, the growth in domestic spending slowed to its lowest percentage in years when Clinton was in and Republicans ran the Congress. So we get some kind of balance with checks and balances. That's what we need, I think. And then Thursday we had Bush in India. And India signed a deal to sell nuclear technology to India, or nuclear. India's Prime Minister mentioned King George was skipping visiting the Taj Mahal, and also he said Laura Bush, Queen Laura, also mentioned that they're missing the Taj Mahal on a trip to India. And also I saw this, three brilliant men said in regards to Desert Storm that going into Iraq, they warned us that if we went to Iraq, there would be a division between the Shiites and the Sunnis, and there would be a civil war, and we'll be sucked into that civil war. Those three brilliant men were Brent Scowcroft, James A. Baker, and President George Herbert Walker Bush. So, you know, those words are very prophetic now with this mess over in Iraq. And also, I saw this comment from somewhere on TV. It said, the water is pouring over the levee of the Bush administration, and Bush is at the lowest approval of a second-term president in 50 years, with the exception of Nixon. So, and Nixon's our only president with to ever have the last name with an X in his name. First and only president with an X in his name. In dramatic, and also on Wednesday, King George made a surprise visit to Afghanistan. Videos released by AP showing Bush being briefed about Katrina a day before it hit the Gulf Coast. Saw all this BS. He had no idea what was happening. BS. He knew it was coming. He was asleep at the switch again. Bush and Chertoff warned before Katrina. In a dramatic and sometimes agonizing terms, federal disaster officials warned King George and his Homeland Security chief before Hurricane Katrina struck that the storm would breach the levees, put lives at risk in New Orleans, Superdome, and overwhelm rescuers, according to confidential video footage. So there you go there. So with that, we'll move to the news to you. And this first one is also from today, but a new poll has come out saying that most voters concerned about illegal immigration. This is from New York. A poll finds nearly 9 in 10 American voters believe illegal immigration is a serious problem. About 6 in 10 in the Quinnipiac University poll said they're against efforts to make it easier for illegal immigrants to become citizens. And even a bigger majority opposes issuing those immigrants driver's licenses. Nearly 40% of voters want the current levels of legal immigration reduced. About a quarter want it increased. Like I said, I agree. I'm all for legal immigration. This illegal immigration's got to be stopped. You know, build that damn fence on the borders, and also build a fence in Canada. You know, there's some spot up in Canada. Got some ducks, a family of ducks guarding the damn border. They got these orange cones there. The sign saying the border's open from 9 to 5, and they got a family of ducks walking back and forth. What the hell is that? So, it's also another poll from Gallup. How is Bush, King George, handling terrorism? 47% approve how he's handling terrorism, and 49% disapprove how he's handling it. So it's 50-50. You know, the country, of course, is always split right down the middle. Civil war in Iraq in the next year. 20% say it's unlikely. 73% says it's likely. I say they're in a civil war right now. They've been in a civil war for at least a year and a half to 2 years. Nobody seems to acknowledge that. You got two sides feuding with one another. What the hell is that? That's not a civil war. Bush, the first president with an MBA, manage the government effectively? Yes, 40%. No, 59%. So he's slipping and sliding there in those polls. And another poll from Gallup. 2 out of 3 Americans want U.S. to pull out from Iraq. It's from Editor and Publisher magazine. This is from Thursday, actually, last Thursday. While newspaper editorials remain virtually silent on the subject, the American public seems to have made up its mind. A new Gallup CNN USA Today poll tonight shows that 2 out of 3 adult Americans now want U.S. troops to start to come home from Iraq now.
Really?
There you go. And 50,
really?
Absolutely. And 55% called the decision to attack Iraq in 2003 a mistake.
That's just stupid.
Absolutely, it was a mistake because, you know what, we took our eye off the ball there with Osama bin Laden. He's the one we should have captured first and then gone into Iraq. Once we settled things with Osama, then we could have gone after Saddam Hussein. You know. Anyway, the same poll found President Bush's approval rating plunging to 38%. It was even lower in a CBS poll earlier this week. There you go. Oh, who's that? Is that Bush? No. In the poll, 38% said some troops should be withdrawn from Iraq now, with another 27% they should all come home now. So, I don't know. That didn't make any sense. Some should be withdrawn now. I never say they should all come. Oh, okay. Some troops should be withdrawn from Iraq now, and the 27% say should all come home now. So, there you go. And also, this is a question about the Democrats. They struggle to seize this opportunity. Like I say, where are they at? They're invisible. The Washington Post breaks exciting new ground in probing problems facing the Democratic Party and trying to seize control of the House and Senate after more than a decade of almost unbroken minority status. These challenges range from a disagreement over whether to highlight a positive or negative message and whether to try to nationalize the congressional campaign with a blueprint or a contract with voters, as Republicans did successfully in 1994, or to keep the races more local in tone. You got to come up with some kind of contract. It's only way. You know, you got to nationalize these things and then come out with some common sense thing. I always said to them, I told them before, they should go over to the Reform Party's site and pick off some of their ideas for reform. The Democrats just stand for reform, accountability, and other things. You know, they should come out with their own counterproposals.
You are guilty of inhumanity to your fellow man.
There you go. And that's I think so. And this next one is also from today. U.S. soldier's rape sentence cut due to Iraq stress. So this is a new one. A U.S. soldier who raped a Nigerian woman in Italy.
Hello.
There you go.
Hello.
Was given a lighter sentence because the court deemed his tour of duty in Iraq made him less sensitive to the suffering of others.
Stand up and Crazy. Be a man. You're embarrassing yourself.
I think the Italian courts are turning to the American court system. I don't know. According to an Italian court document obtained by Reuters on Tuesday, James Michael Brown, a 27-year-old paratrooper from Oregon stationed in northern Italy, was sentenced to 5 years and 8 months for rape in February 2004.
You think so?
Brown, beat and handcuffed the woman, a Nigerian resident of the town of Vicenza. He raped her vaginally and anally, and left her to wander the streets. And left her to wander the streets naked in search of help.
What else is there to do when life turns on you and you've retreated into some small room?
There you go. The crime would have earned him an 8-year sentence, but the judges reduced the penalty due to extenuating circumstances of the psychological effects.
Damn, you got me!
Yeah, the psychological effects of Brown's year of service in Iraq. the document said. So that gives him excuse to rape this poor woman.
My mother used to do this. She used to dish this out. Please don't do this. You're bringing back my unhappy childhood.
Tell us about your mother, James Michael Brown.
Take it, please.
Brown, who is being held at the U.S. military prison in Mannheim, Germany, may never serve his rape sentence, as under Italian law, he may be allowed to return to the United States pending an appeal to the conviction. Wow. It's amazing. Now they're using the war in Iraq to get the soldiers, so soldiers can off on rape charges. What else is going to happen? You know what I'm saying? A foreign company runs Indianapolis Airport, responsible for law enforcement. And this is from the Drudge Report from Monday. He says, move over, Portgate. Indianapolis International Airport, a facility that serves more than 8 million passengers every year, is operated by a foreign-owned company. Unbelievable. That's the 727 landing in from was that Air Force One landing. And the company has stated, wow, it's almost as noisy as the Galactica coming by. And the company has stated contractual obligations at the airport, which include law enforcement.
Holy
there he is. BAA Indianapolis LLC is a wholly owned subsidiary of BAA PLC, a private company which owns and operates seven airports in the United Kingdom. Indianapolis International is now the largest privately managed airport in the United States. See, there you go. I said, we've got more problems than just these ports. We've got the airports. We've got the 80% of the ports run by outside countries, companies. It's more in this UAE business. There's more and more of this BS than we've ever been led to believe. This is also from the weekend from a poll, an air poll from California. Arnold faces difficult re-election bid. This is about the Groper-in-chief here. Just 37% of California's likely voters are inclined to re-elect Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in November, a huge drop from a year ago, according to a poll released on Thursday. But the statewide field poll also found the Republican governor running competitively against each of his Democratic opponents vying for their party's nomination in the June primary. This isn't even until June, wow. But
come
I say,
on, don't bullshit me.
I mean, I'd like to see him get tossed down.
Outrageous. And I will repeal it.
Wow. I'd like to see him get tossed down on his ass because, you know what, they shouldn't have this recall. The recourse for recall for America, for voters is re-election, not this, you know, he does something wrong.
Unlike someone we know.
Uh-oh. Where he can, you know, pull him out for, you know,
fuck
a couple of days.
You asshole.
Well, I mean, it cost $68 million for the state of California to afford that election for him. You know, and we're, that money, they needed that money like that for things that are wrong in that state. You know, why not wait till re-election vote him out?
Who are you?
So not only did they have to pay for this...
you want to fuck me?
Whoa. And now they pay for this... no, I don't. Thank you. Now that they had to pay for this
recall...
Give me
your vote. Give me your vote.
Hell no. You know, I'll never vote for you, Arnold.
Join me. Join me.
Wow.
I guarantee you, things will change.
Well, it doesn't look like they're changing too much in California. So, but it's I think. I think they should wait to re-election and then toss Gray Davis out.
You lack discipline.
I don't know. And
listen to me very carefully.
I will work honestly, without fear or favor. California is spending $29 million per day more than it takes in.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you're young or old. I have the utmost respect for women.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I stand for fiscally responsible government.
Oh, really?
Bullshit. Bullshit.
There you go. That's why
I
you push.
I swear I will not kill anyone.
Bullshit.
That's why he played for. He pushed for that damn recall. He spent $60 million of the state's taxpayers' money on that damn recall, and they could have waited for the re-election
absolutely
for Gray Davis.
This time you can count on me.
There you go. And this next one is a sad one here from Sunday.
I don't play that game.
Wow.
No deal.
Stop whining. Stop whining.
Schwarzenegger. crushed newborn found dead in the road. This is horrible. Infant had been run over several times. This is from CBS in New York.
Holy cow!
Yeah, the dead body of a newborn baby had been crushed by a car. It was discovered lying on a Long Island street Saturday. Police had few clues where the infant came from or whether, well, we know where it came from. It came from a mother's womb. Or whether it was dead or alive when it was abandoned. A man walking his dog found the badly mangled
Isn't
body.
Isn't that funny? You hear a phone ring, and it could be anybody.
Yeah.
But a ringing phone has to be answered, doesn't it?
Mm. They found the man and his dog found the badly mangled body at 7:30 a.m. on a residential street near a golf course in a high school in Hempstead, about 20 miles east of Manhattan. The guy who found it, he says, the first time I saw it, I thought it was a dead raccoon, but then I saw little feet and everything, and I saw it was a little baby. Noben Valet, a shaken Long Island resident, lives near where the body was found. The naked body had been laying in the road for some time, probably more than a day. Wow. And may have been struck by more than one vehicle.
Oh, my gosh.
What the hell?
Does that suck?
Yeah. Yeah, this says there the man who made the gruesome discovery mistook the remains for a small animal. Horrible. Horrible. How did a kid get into the street? Did somebody throw it out there? So we had that story here in Vegas.
You are stuck on stupid.
Yeah, we had some story out here in Vegas where some toddler ran out into the street, and the kid ran into some moving car and got killed. I mean, where are these parents? They're asleep. There you go. Watching too much Dancing with the Stars and drinking their six-pack to keep an eye on their damn kids, you know. Farmer feeds family friend's corpse to the pigs. Hey, this is...
yes, yes.
This is horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Berlin,
yes.
Germany. A German farmer, related to Hitler. A German farmer confessed to feeding the corpse of an elderly family friend to his pigs and then stealing from his bank account, the police said Monday.
Police, you'll die with a clean conscience.
There you go. The police ruled out murder, and the 29-year-old farmer has been charged with improper burial and fraud. The elderly friend died in the farmer's yard in February 2005, and the farmer, through his mother, had the power of attorney, giving him access to the dead man's bank account and pension. The farmer initially put the corpse in a deep freezer, police in the German town said, and told curious locals the old man was in a nursing home.
Feeling kind of nervous.
Yeah, he decided to feed the corpse to the pigs. He let the corpse thaw, dismembered it, and fed it to his pigs. Then he put the parts that the pigs did not eat into a sack and buried it. Disgusting. Horrible. Horrible. There they are. Ooh.
Yes. Disgusting. Yes. Yes.
Disgusting. And wow. That's a bison there. What the hell? This is a big pig. This is from, next one's from Tuesday to from today, from San Francisco, no less. Court says oral sex law violates rights. A 22-year-old man.
No.
I don't know. Sometimes no means yes. Sometimes yes means no. A 22-year-old
you're behaving like a child.
California man who received oral sex from a 16-year-old girl should not be forced to register for life as a sex offender.
Next question.
The California Supreme Court. President Bush, we resign from office. The California Supreme Court ruled on Monday. The state's top court found that California denied Vincent Hofshire's equal protection under the law because those having intercourse in such circumstances would not be forced to register as a lifetime sex offenders. What the hell? I mean, I don't understand that at all. Requiring mandatory lifetime registration of all persons who, like defendant here, were convicted of voluntary oral copulation with a minor of the age 16 or 17, but not of someone convicted of voluntary sexual intercourse with a minor of the same age, violates the equal protection clauses of the federal and state constitutions. So I don't know how that. He actually met the teenager in an internet chat room and then went up sharing rum and
Brilliant.
Orange juice with her at the beach.
Brilliant!
So, anyway, so I guess 16-year-olds, so he's not going to have to register for getting a blowjob from a 16-year-old girl on the beach, I guess. So,
Wow!
Why can't I find these girls? Yeah, I mean, oh well. Not that I would do anything with a 16-year-old, but, you know, I mean, like, 18-year-old would be fine.
You are a meathead.
There you go. Man pleads guilty. Oh, Gillo, listen. Man pleads guilty to fathering baby with daughter. Judge gives Spartanburg County man. He's getting 15 years in prison. Spartanburg, South Carolina. A Spartanburg County man is heading to prison after admitting to having a baby with a 16-year-old.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is
absolutely
about to go
down. Biological daughter, authorities said.
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
Yeah, I wonder if that thing's got 12 fingers and 16 toes or something. Timothy Gossett pleaded guilty to a second-degree criminal conduct with a minor.
Are guilty of inhumanity to your fellow man.
Absolutely.
What they can't know is what we do to them in our minds.
And here's his excuse. Gossa told deputies that he didn't think the victim was his daughter because she didn't look like
Stand
his other kids.
Stand up, man. You're embarrassing yourself.
However, the Gossett's name is listed on the victim's birth certificate. So the victim and newborn are in custody of the Department of Social Services. The judge gave Gossett an active sentence of 15 years in prison with 5 years of probation.
You
so,
read about the German
unbelievable.
Porn shot 10 days ago, didn't you?
I'd like to be the mother in all this, having to deal with all this. Horrible.
What they can't know is what we do to them in our minds, right?
Yeah. Speaking of freaks, Bill O'Reilly sends Fox Security, threatens police action after the caller mentions Keith Olbermann's name on his radio show. Many of you are aware of the feud. Yeah, man, I mentioned over the last several weeks there's a big feud blown up between Olbermann and O'Reilly. But O'Reilly's got his radio show. Says
you a suck on stupid.
Says O'Reilly, the narcissist, that he is now won't let callers to his program even mention Keith's name without cutting him off and calling security. Here is
you are a bitch.
Whoa! Here's a transcript of the call. The caller says, "I like to listen to you during the day." And then the caller says, "I think Keith Olbermann's show." And boom, the caller gets dropped. O'Reilly says, "There you go. Mike he's a gone guy. You know, we have this. We have your phone numbers, by the way. So if you're listening, Mike, we have your phone number."
Isn't it funny? You hear a phone ring, and it could be anybody.
And we're going to turn it over to Fox Security, and you're going to get a little visit. So, soon after, a few callers receive phone messages from the head of security at Fox threatening them.
Go on, hang up. Go on, hang up.
What the hell is he doing? I mean,
it's not in your best interest to disconnect me.
Oh, he does mention he says, "I think Keith Olbermann's show," and that's where he dropped the call. I mean, it's ridiculous. And also, Olbermann had on. O'Reilly posts his show on his website. Anyway, with this.
I want your complete
this segment
attention.
Of the show, of the call, this caller was dropped mysteriously after Olbermann mentioned on Countdown. So it's like, what is going on here with O'Reilly? Then this is also from Saturday from the Washington Post. Cliche. And it says, Democratic leaders question whether Dean's right on the money. I said, Dean, as much as I'm a Democrat, Dean is not the right guy to run the party. I'm sorry. He suffers from chronic foot-in-the-mouth disease. I just don't think he's right. We need somebody else, because he's burning through this money that the party has raised. He's busy setting up these campaign offices, Democratic Party offices, and, these states where the party, it's heavily Republican. I see what he's doing, trying to make the party a national party and all this stuff. But, I mean, there's not enough money. Pelosi and Reid are saying that he's spending money, he's blown through money so fast, they're afraid they're not going to have money to respond to the Republicans when the congressional elections come along at the end of the year. So, I mean, he's got to watch the budget there. Harry Reid, Pinky, and Nancy Pelosi challenged the former Vermont governor during a session in Pelosi's office. The leaders complain about Dean's priorities. Funding organizers for state parties in strongly Republican states, such as Mississippi, rather than targeting states with crucial elections this fall. Dean argued his strategy is designed to build the party across the country, and then he pledged to do so when he ran for party chairman. Democratic congressional leaders are particularly worried because the Republican National Committee holds a huge financial advantage over the DNC. One congressional Democrat complained that Dean has an alarming rate burned through the money the DNC has raised, and that Republicans may be able to swamp Democrats in close races with an infusion of RNC money. That's it. That's what I'm saying. You got to keep some money in the bank for these elections. Can't blow through all the money now and have nothing at the end of the year to respond to the attacks. So, amazing. So I think Michael J.W. Stickings is on the line. There we go. And we're joined by Michael J.W. Stickings of the Reaction Blog. Sir, are you there?
Yes, Sean. How are you?
Hi. Welcome back to the program.
Good. Thanks a lot for having me back.
Welcome.
I appreciate it.
No problem. And actually, I was just talking about the story I had about Howard Dean going into the woodshed with Pelosi and Reid about him blowing through the money in the party at an alarming rate. I don't know if you had any thoughts about that.
Well, first off, can you imagine sitting in a room with Pelosi, Reid, and Howard Dean? good times right there.
Yeah.
I don't follow the money all that closely. I mean, there's been all this talk that Dean hasn't been able to raise enough as committee chairman. I'm not sure how significant it is. I think you're right, though. Republicans could clearly outspend the Democrats in desperation this year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said that I see what he's doing. I agree with what he's doing. I've said that for years. The Democrats have to have a national plan, but only if there's money to do it. Now, he's blown through all this money. By the end of the year, when these congressional elections are, you know, hot and heavy, the Democrats aren't going to have any money to respond unless they're thinking they're going to be able to rely on MoveOn.org and some of those other groups to be the, you know, to
maybe
be the,
maybe John Kerry could give up some of his money. Nah. He's got millions in the bank left over.
Or his wife.
Exactly. Theresa Hines can pay for the entire Democratic congressional campaign.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. You know, I mean, they said that they. I don't understand this. You know, Dean, he did. You know, he was a presidential candidate. I just. You know, he's stuck in his foot in his mouth so many times. You know, yeah. And I don't understand why they're keeping him around heading that party. You know, I would have thought they would have gotten rid of him a few months ago when he stuck his foot in his mouth about something else, about the something about Iraq and how we're not going to win the war. Yeah, he didn't phrase it right. You know, he meant how we're going to, you know, there's no head of state for terrorism, so we're not going to have some big armistice with the head of state of terrorism. I think that's what he was going for, but he stuck his foot in his mouth. You know, it's like the third or fourth time he stuck his foot in his mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he's sort of an easy target for Republicans too. I'm not sure what Dean's poll numbers are nationwide. I didn't object to Dean's appointment as DNC chair back when it happened, but I mean, in retrospect, it probably wasn't the best decision. Those jobs usually go to party hacks and functionaries. I guess there are some exceptions, but I mean, they probably should have picked someone who's a better fundraiser, a better organization guy.
Exactly.
Dean is too polarizing a figure, and the risks are too great. And you're right, he sticks his foot in his mouth all the time. I mean, you just have to watch him on Meet the Press.
I
admire him. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of things I admire about him.
Same here.
As a candidate, as an independent candidate in and of himself. Mm-hmm. But as a leader of a party, it doesn't work so well.
No. And the same thing with Harry Reid. You know, he stuck his foot in his mouth by calling Bush a loser here. You know, I mean, I'd like to see the Democrats put some new faces out there. I said it last week as well, so I'm repeating myself. But I mean, it's a problem I've had, you know, with the party for a while, that they're relying on these old dinosaurs to lead the party, you know, into a new direction. They're not doing it. It's like the old, you know, they ran out Paul Hackett, which I thought was a mistake, because I thought he could be a good voice for the party, you know, not really anti-war, but anti, you know, Bush administration plan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts about Paul Hackett?
You know, I have some good friends in Ohio. I respect him. I don't know a great deal about him. Mm-hmm. I think the Democrats probably should have given him a chance. I'm probably not in the best position to comment on it. However,
yeah. Well, no, I just meant it because, you know, he dropped out because of the Reid and somebody else. They, you know, worked against him for Sherrod Brown and all that. I said, so we needed some, you know, these Iraqi war veterans out there. You know, out there is, you know, for the party to give us legitimacy as we're going to talk against this war in Iraq. You know?
Oh yeah, that I certainly agree with. Now, I mean, Sherrod Brown's an extremely intelligent person, and I think could be extremely good. Again, these are sort of internal Democratic Party politics, and I'm sure Reid had a reason to do this. You know, whether it was acceptable or not, I don't know. But I mean, we'll have to see come the election.
Yeah. Now,
I certainly think, though, that we need these Iraq veterans out there, front and center. I mean, I don't know if you saw this. This was in USA Today today. There have been 8,000 defections since the beginning of the Iraq War.
Yes, I was going to get that, yes.
Yeah, which is not a huge number compared to Vietnam, but of course this is a completely volunteer army or volunteer military, and lawyers for the defectors claim that the situation in Iraq has something to do with this. So I think the more sort of first-hand accounts we can get out there, the better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to come from... That's why someone like Jack Murtha has so much credibility.
True.
Obviously not because he was there, but because he knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for Democrats, who have been so far behind the Republicans on all things military, you know, to get these guys out there. This is what is really happening on the ground in Iraq.
I'm surprised that Wesley Clark's not more out there with this. You know, he's a war veteran, or he's a four-star general. I'm surprised he's not out there more talking about, you know.
I'm surprised, too. He always comes out pretty well on some of these straw polls that the big blogs have, like MyDD.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still extremely popular among Democrats.
True.
So who knows? Maybe he's sort of, you know, preparing for another run in 2008. I'm not sure. I haven't seen much of him recently either, though.
No, actually, I saw something else about my, speaking of MyDD. I guess the blogger behind that, I guess he's been hired by Mark Warner to spearhead his internet fundraising abilities, huh?
No, I hadn't heard that. Really.
Yes. Yeah. I believe it was him. I saw. I think it was on the. Where was I at? I think it was on the ForwardTogether.org pack that Mark Warner has. So I'm pretty sure. That, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But also, you want to talk about the Democrats and whether they.
I put out my services, by the way. I will work for anyone. We bloggers need all the help we can get. So anyone listening, I'm available.
Really? Well, and then you want to talk about how if the Democrats can capitalize on these Republican blunders and scandals. I'm saying the party's not. You know, we don't have a cohesive message, and that's what's the problem is. We have all these opportunities here within, since the last election, and the party's kind of floundering, huh?
Yeah. You know, this is something I've been thinking about for a long time, trying to figure out why the Republicans do so well or have done so well pretty much over the past 25 years, and why Democrats have struggled. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the extremely effective conservative movement, which pumped millions and millions of dollars into think tanks and publications and so forth. But the Republican Party operates as such an effective bottleneck for the conservative movement that when push comes to shove, Republicans or conservatives will set aside their differences. 92 is an exception when Buchanan had led his rebellion, but for the most part, they really do. There's a great deal of unity there. And for some reason, we Democrats, liberals, progressives, moderates, it's like we just don't get along with each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we can't even put aside our own differences so that, I speak as if I'm a Democrat, but I mean, we can't put aside our own differences to go after the opposition. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, what it really comes down to is getting more votes on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not whether, we're more right than they are, or whether one component in the Democratic Party triumphs over another component, whether the Harry Reids are victorious over the Chuck Schumers or whatever you want.
Mm.
Ultimately, it's beating the other side. We're not good at that.
No, we've been like that since Clinton.
Yeah, pretty much. Although Clinton was just a cult of personality, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Clinton was extremely popular as a political figure. He didn't have any coattails, though. I mean, he didn't do much for the Democratic Party.
No, actually, and he lost them both houses of Congress in 94.
Yeah, in 94, Democrats are thinking they have to put together some kind of contract with America that mirrors what the Republicans did in 94. But in fact, 94 was not about the contract with America. It was about disillusionment with Clinton. And Republicans were really able to capitalize on that. So, I mean, it was in a sense Clinton's very bad performance the first 2 years of his presidency.
Well, yeah, he did drop the ball a little bit. He came out of the block first with that, don't ask, don't tell. That was a flunder right out of the box there.
Right.
And then the
health care was an issue. And
well, I mean, actually, Hillary's turned out to be right about that all along. And if we look back now, because our health care costs are shooting through the roof, and this Medicare program that Bush put in effect, nobody understands. Yeah, I got a couple senior citizens I work with at work. They said they didn't even sign up because they couldn't make heads or tails out of the program.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh no, she's been proven right. I'm just saying back in '94.
Oh, true. Yeah.
The perception was otherwise.
Oh yeah, that's when Hillary was a commie trying to take over. Was it one? What did Russia say? 1/8 of the economy. 1/8. 1/8. You know what I mean? And then she's trying to take it over. And then how she was having these secret meetings with these medical industry companies or whatever, heads of companies now. And all of a sudden now Cheney did the same thing, but with the oil companies, but energy. And that's no problem when Hillary was doing it with the medical companies, all hell broke loose.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then like I say the party's got to get its act together. Democrats. I mean, I don't know what they're gonna have to do. I say got to get some big donor to either lean on Howard Dean to get out of the way, or I said before, he would have been our answer to Rush Limbaugh. They would have given him his own national radio show because Dean had a pretty good sharp tongue. They've turned him loose. Yeah, he'd be pretty good. I mean, man, that's the out for Dean. You got to get some like Barbara Streisand or something like that to say, hey, I'm gonna fund you, underwrite your radio radio show for it. You know, just resign from the party now. Thank you very much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you're in talk radio. You know what you're talking about. I mean, I think Dean has all the makings of a great left-wing Rush Limbaugh. You're exactly right.
Absolutely. You put him on Air America.
Put him on 3 hours a day and get the base mobilized.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And put him He'd be far more effective than anything he could do at the DNC.
Yeah. Put him on Air America, and that might just be the answer to all the problems over at Air America. You know, they're floundering. He might be a lightning rod over there to bring it, because Franken's supposed to be going to get out of the way because he's going to run for Senate in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And apparently the Air America is going down the drain because now they're having to rely on Soros and meathead Rob Reiner to keep the company going until the elections.
Maybe Clooney can put some of his money into it. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Milk Hollywood even more. I don't know.
Now, what's going on with this cartoon controversy? It's still going on, huh?
Well, I mean, it's still going on. What I've written about recently is that conservatives who generally despise all things European, who despise the European Union, who rail against social democracy, are in a sense cheering as Europe declines. And I think, you know, there was a certain, sense of satisfaction to see Europe suddenly having troubles with some of its Muslim population. They're all jumping on this Denmark bandwagon now. I think there's something behind this that isn't really being discussed enough. I mean, conservatives are coming out and praising the Danes for publishing these offensive cartoons. Now, I agree there is a free speech component to it. I don't think anyone is saying there should be a law to prevent the publication of those cartoons. But isn't it odd that these conservatives, who are more than willing to let everything Bush is doing slide by, all this sort of trampling on the Constitution, the rendering of prisoners, the torture of prisoners, NSA wiretapping, now we see more and more a concerted war against journalism. They find every reason they can to apologize for what Bush is doing, and yet a sort of insignificant newspaper in Denmark publishes some offensive cartoons against Islam, and that's a free speech issue.
It's
astonishing hypocrisy. And I'm not talking about legitimate conservatives like Andrew Sullivan. I'm talking about sort of the bandwagon grassroots conservatives.
Limbaugh or Hannity.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If the Danes had published cartoons attacking
Bush,
or Jesus.
Oh yes.
You think they'd be out there in front of the Danish consulate in New York with waving Danish flags, saying, "Isn't this wonderful for free speech?"
No, they'd be burning the Danish embassy down. Are you kidding me? They'd be burning all the donuts at Krispy Kreme.
Exactly. I think this is why I think, you see some of this serious anti-Muslim sentiment on the right, and it's reflected in their opposition to Portgate to some degree, although I oppose it as well. But especially in these cartoons and. Again, Denmark. I mean, it's hardly a conservative haven.
No. I mean, that's over in the same area of Luxembourg, where the Chile guy there, Clinton made him ambassador, or wherever it was years ago, Hormel, and he turns out he's in the what's that name of that group with the NAMBLA, with the NAMBLA organization, or something with NAMBLA.
The one John Stewart always makes fun of.
I don't know. This Portgate thing, that's still... Have you been watching CNN? Because Wolf Blitzer's been over there.
I try not to watch that much Wolf Blitzer. I find it's not good for my health.
You don't watch the Situation Room? I got to get the music. I got to get the music for here.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Well, I'm hooked on it because I do a lot of news, I tape that show every day. 3 hours of my life I'll never get back every day. But
you got Lou Dobbs stuck in between though.
I don't understand that. They should move him out of the way to get the whole 3 hours straight. I don't understand that, But he was there, and then he said this poor gay business. It's a beautiful country. They have this indoor skiing with snow skiing. They have the homes are building on this on these little islands that look like a palm tree and everything. It looks like they're a very progressive country. They do commerce with the Zim, a country from Israel. I said, if we're going to ban the UAE, the DP World, from managing ports, we better pass a law that bans all these foreign countries from running the ports in the United States. Because I said 80% of the ports here in this country are run by outside countries' companies.
Yeah, and I mean, we discussed this last week, and yes. I think I made the point that, that there is a case to be made for economic nationalism, and I think that there are certain industries that should be controlled domestically.
Exactly.
By American interests. I mean, for example, the American aerospace industry, or the American, I don't know, the military, you know, the military, the weapons industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we want foreigners, and I try not to use that word condescendingly, but yeah. I mean, do we want foreign interests running those industries? I don't think that's a good idea.
No, neither do I. But then until they pass the law, you know, I can't see how we can tell, you know, the UAE, no, you can't run these ports, but we're going to let Communist China's company run the ports in Long Beach in California. You know, it's a double standard we're setting for the UAE that we're not setting for China and these other, you know, countries, companies in the United States. Yeah, you know, it just, to me, it's you know, if we're going to do something, we better pass a law that bans all these countries from running our ports. You know.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. And the good news is that when Congress comes back in session, there will be a serious bipartisan effort to review these deals and to look, I think, more seriously into port security and port operations around the United States. I mean, let's face it. But before this story broke, did we really know anything about America's ports?
I
didn't give it a second thought about the ports. I had no idea. I mean, I knew they were. I knew they were a problem, but I had no idea.
No, well, same thing with the story here. I don't know if you listened to the whole program, but the thing about the airport in Indianapolis is now run by an outside, a foreign country company running the airport. You know, that thing, we got to start climbing down on that. And then some senator, I was watching CNN when I was leaving, he wants to clamp down on not allowing foreign companies to take over American airline, you know, American airline companies, not American airlines, but U.S. Right. airlines. Yeah, you know, so that, you know, some of these sensitive industries I can see, like you said, the military, you know, industry companies, those it should be American, I believe. You know, the ports should be run by American companies. Same thing with the the airports. You know, those sensitive areas should be run by U.S. companies.
Yeah, and I want to be clear about this, and I'm sure this is where you're coming from too. I mean, I think we need to be careful about going too far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, we don't want to get into a situation where we make America an unattractive place for foreign investment. I mean, obviously, the economy depends a great deal on foreign investment. But again, I think it's important to identify those highly sensitive industries that could be potential gateways for terrorists or other threats to American national security, and to clamp down on those industries.
Yeah, that's
true. Doesn't mean all industry. Doesn't mean, you know, no foreign ownership of anything American. It just means specific industries.
Yes, sensitive to the national interests of the country as a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you know, having Daimler Chrysler, Daimler Mercedes, whatever the hell it was, own Chrysler, that whoop-de-doo about that. But I mean, like I said, the airlines, the airports, and the ports, the seaports itself, those are sensitive areas, and it should be run by U.S. company. You know,
I agree. And this issue clearly isn't going to go away.
No.
I mean, the Democrats are going to. This is an incredible issue for Democrats. I mean, something has just fallen into their laps. I think they can use this to show just how incompetent the Bush administration has been on national security, a Republican issue, traditionally a Republican issue, and so it's not going away. I think we're going to hear more of this going forward.
Oh yeah, well they're taking this issue away from Bush, and you know, where has I call him King George now? Where has King George been? When this broke, and of course he took off to India to buy some socks, where it was. I mean, he should have. He should came out and made a comment, do a press conference, and set the country's the people at ease, or give some kind of. He's let the story float out there for what, going on 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's asleep at the switch.
Well, I mean, this speaks to even to Republican complaints of the Bush administration. Byron York, a conservative, a hardline conservative from the National Review, has a piece in the New Republic. Explaining just why congressional Republicans are abandoning the Bush administration, and he uses the A word, arrogance.
Oh yes.
And I mean, even with his own party, it's sort of like it's this sort of my way or the highway routine that Bush gives. If Bush really thinks that handing over operations of America's ports to foreign interest is a good idea, then come out and explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's never really come out and explained Iraq all that well either.
No, no. Anything that does come out, I can't talk about that. You know, same thing with these investigations. It's an ongoing investigation. I can't talk about it. You know, at least make a comment. You know, all this, I'm not going to say anything. It gets to the overall perception of secrecy in this administration. I think what David Gergen was on something the other day,
yeah.
He said it reeks of the Nixon administration with all how they're so secret. Now they're going, like you said, they're going after the press over these leaks and everything. And he said it just reeks of Nixon.
Yeah, Gergen was on Reliable Sources
Howard
Kurtz on CNN.
There you go.
Sunday morning. And of course, Gergen has worked for pretty much every single presidential administration in history. I think.
Yes, and he reminds you of that too.
Yeah, exactly. He's rather full of himself.
But, oh yes.
And of course, he teaches at Harvard now. But I mean, he mentioned that you know he hasn't seen anything this bad since Nixon, and in fact, it's worse than Nixon. He pointed out, and that's it doesn't really get much worse than that. And you know, we're seeing more and more reports, and a lot of this is being exposed by bloggers like. The Moderate Voice, Joe Gandelman has done some great posts on this. Glenn Greenwald has done some great posts on this. That the administration, essentially the executive branch, is using the Espionage Act against private citizens now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just against the leakers, but the leakees, those to whom this information is being leaked. They're putting a lot of pressure on journalists, intimidation tactics, essentially.
Yeah, what happened to the freedom of the press? You know, it's a constitutional right. Or is the administration completely, like I said before, wiping their asses with the Constitution? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's hypocrisy, isn't it? I mean, again, they're more than happy to come out and praise a Danish newspaper for publishing anti-Islamic cartoons,
mm-hmm.
and yet here's Bush trampling all over the Constitution, trampling all over, and essentially. The most fundamental element of the Constitution,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, the rights that we all have, trampling over it.
Oh, well.
And obviously not because this is an issue of national security. I think Kevin Drum pointed this out recently, that in fact, very few leaks in America's history have been threats to national security.
Yeah.
More than anything, leaks expose the abuses of power. I mean, that's why they're clamping down.
Yeah.
Everything that we know about the Bush administration that's bad has essentially come to us through leaks.
That's true. The Valerie Plame, Scooter Libby.
Exactly. The prisons in Eastern Europe, the CIA prisons, the rendition program,
yes.
the torture at Gitmo, the Abu Ghraib photos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these have all been, yes, I know the press has done their job, but these have all been sourced by leaks.
Yeah. And then and same thing with this, with what happened to Shooter Cheney a few weeks ago. If it wasn't for that little reporter down there in Texas, we never would have found out about this story, probably.
Oh, exactly, exactly. And here's the question too. I mean, if they're going to use the Espionage Act to clamp down on journalists, what if it really does emerge that Cheney approved of leaks out of Libby's office?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do then?
Will they impeach Cheney? I don't know.
Well, they're just getting more and more wrapped up in a kind of web of deceit and secrecy and abuse of power. And, you know, I've been really hesitant to use the I word. I know there's a big movement out there.
Because you hate to see this.
It's a dangerous place to go.
Yeah, because you're impeached Clinton, and now gonna be every administration is going to be trumped up on impeachment charges. Yeah, I see. I agree with that. You know, I've been a little carried away throwing around the impeachment word a little bit, but still, I mean, the Democrats. I don't know what they say. They've been backing off from that. I've been keeping an eye on some of the Democratic Party websites. They've been backing off about that. I think they're hoping if they get one of the houses of Congress, they can get enough investigations going where either they'll be able to go after some of these administration officials or maybe get Cheney to resign from office.
Yeah, well, I'd settle for investigations at this point.
Yeah.
So, and obviously we're not going to get any investigations with Frist running the Senate. I mean, he's already come out and said there. You know, he's really going to stop any kind of investigation into the NSA wiretapping scandal.
Yeah, because
he just doesn't want to do it.
No, well, he's running for president too. Same thing with McCain and all that. They're not going to turn against Bush, even though Bush is down to 38% now in the polls.
Yeah, it's in the 30s somewhere. It's astonishing. And then the other poll that came out, which is extremely interesting, is a Gallup generic poll that shows congressional Democrats up by 14 points over congressional Republicans.
Wow.
Which is the largest spread since 1994.
Wow.
So I mean, it's gotten as high as 12 points, I think, last fall. I think 96, it was around 12%.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a 14-point spread. And it's just a general question, right? Who would you vote for in your district, the Democrat or the Republican?
It's amazing.
I know we're a long way from November, but, I mean, that's a big number right now.
Really? Hello, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect. It's a big number. I just hope the Democrats don't fall off the tracks here. I mean, everything's going well, but the party has a tendency to fall off the tracks. You know what I'm saying?
They do, and there's some great pieces in the Washington Post today. E.J. Dionne has a wonderful column today about what Democrats need to do going into 2006 and then 2008.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Democrats are divided. You have the congressional leadership, Pelosi and Reid on one side, who would like to come out with some kind of manifesto, as the Post put it, some kind of contract with America-like program for Democrats. You have governors who want positive sound bites that they can use locally. And then you have, sort of on the other side, Schumer and Rahm Emanuel, who are running the congressional campaigns,
mm-hmm.
who really want the attacks to continue, who really want the focus to be on the Bush administration and on what it is doing wrong.
Mm.
And so they can't even get on the same page. And it's going to be interesting over the next few months to see how Democrats do, whether they can come up with some kind of coherent plan. Not just a platform, but sort of a campaign plan going into November. I happen to agree with Schumer and Emanuel on this. I think a midterm election is a referendum on the party in power. And the party in power is doing a bad job. That's where the focus needs to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you got to peel back all the stuff. You hit them with Iraq and peel back. Well, you know, the mission is a mess. Every 6 months, Bush comes out. Oh, it's about something else. Hit them, and then peel back. This is what he says, and this is what he does. You know what I mean? And then same thing with that one ad that they ran. It had a picture of Nixon that kind of morphed into George W. Bush. I think you got to go that way to drive this point home. You know, got to hit them and then peel him back. You know.
Focus on the overarching narrative of the first 6 years of the Bush administration. Essentially, I mean, the arrogance, the abuse of power, the incompetence, whether it's Iraq, whether it's the ports, whether it's Katrina, whatever it happens to be, I know they're different issues, but they all fall under the same umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the attention needs to be. I mean, the Democrats are the opposition party. Mm-hmm. It is the duty of the opposition party to oppose. And that's what they need to do right now, oppose. Because it's not just, you know, it's not just liberals. Liberals, you know, are angry with Bush. A lot of moderates and independents, people that, you know, back in 2000 said, yeah, Bush isn't so bad. People who after 9/11 said, yeah, okay, we'll give him a chance. Let's see what he can do now.
Mm-hmm.
They're all abandoning Bush.
Yeah. Well, Michael,
you know, they're not there anymore.
Well, Michael, I hate to abandon you now, but we're at the end of our segment here.
Wow, it went by very quickly.
Yes, it goes by fast. Fastest moving show on radio, I'm telling you that.
All Democrats all the time, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, yeah. Thank you for being on. We'll bring you back in a couple weeks.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you very much. Have a good night, sir.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye, you too.
Thank you. And that was Michael J.W. Stickings of the-reaction.blogspot.com for being on the program. Coming up next in a few minutes will be Philip Nguyen from blogcritics.org with a pop culture discussion, maybe a little about the Oscars. And then at the end of the program will be Koenig Rules with a Battlestar Galactica review of part one of Lay Down Your Burdens, as well as more about Doctor Who and also some spoilers. This is Subject Discussion live at LVRocks.com. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you.
what's your spicy issue? Alien sister shotgun, oh yeah. Alien sister, who's your Superman? Alien sister shotgun, it's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
And we are back for the second hour of Subject to Discussion. Once again, I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want, just not call me late for dinner. And this is live on Tuesday night on LVRocks.com and also podcasted. Thank you, everybody, for podcasting the program and listening live on to the program, as well as antiradio.net for listing the podcast URL. We thank you. And also, right now, we'll bring on Philip Nguyen from blogcritics.org. And we are joined by Philip Nguyen.
Hi. Hello, Sean.
What do you think of your entrance music?
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
You no-showed us last week, so we couldn't use it.
Yeah.
But anyway, now you said, that's fine. Everybody knows, and listening to the program, I've listened to it a long time. We've had several no-shows from Katie Sackhoff, but I mean, it's no big deal.
I kind of hoped not to be one of those, but...
It'll happen sooner or later. One show I had all the guests no-show. It was crazy. Bodie Almost, he no-showed me, and I forget, somebody else no-showed. I ended up doing 2 hours by myself with Rolando Cruz, and that was brutal. He's an old friend of mine. He used to do another show here in LV Rocks together, the wrestling show. But I mean, no, every talk show host who's worth their butter, I guess it's called, worth their bread, whatever the hell it is, is always prepared. You know, because the phone system can crash or something else. You gotta be prepared to talk for an hour, 2 hours, without a guest. I mean, that's just the way it is. So. No problem.
Well, fortunately, not tonight. I've been listening all along. You've had your guests so far, and
excellent.
I'm here too.
Excellent. Yes. First of all, you want to talk about the Oscar results. Now, how about that big surprise there with the Crash taking the Best Picture Oscar from Brokeback Mountain?
Oh yeah, that's
amazing.
The big story this week.
Yeah.
The Oscars were telecast Sunday night, and I'm sure if you remember, if you go back a few months, mm-hmm. when Brokeback Mountain debuted amidst a press flurry, I think I predicted it wouldn't break $30 million, but was pretty much a shoo-in for the Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, of course, now it's hit about $100 million and didn't win the Oscar, so it turns out I was about as wrong can possibly be.
Well, I think everybody was wrong, because I saw Jack Nicholson's face when he opened the envelope. I thought he was going to start crying right there. Something hit him. It was like a paternity suit hit him or something.
I think he was worried people might shoot the messenger or something.
We do have race problems in this country, so I'm glad that that movie won. That's the major problem. Granted, we don't acknowledge, the gays have a problem with equal representation in with insurance and employee benefits and all that. But race is still a huge problem in this country, and I'm kind of glad that this movie won over that, because if Brokeback Mountain would have won that Oscar, even now we're seeing more and more of these ripoff movies, the gay theme movies. We're just gonna get beat over the head with these movies now. You know what I'm saying?
Seems like it sometimes, sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying.
I don't know though. I mean, Crash. I know it's well regarded. It's a well made mm-hmm. film.
On the cheap too.
And very cheaply, but I guess I get the feeling we've seen it before. It almost seems overly simplistic. Brokeback, mm-hmm. at least, which I still haven't seen, by the way. I'll catch it on DVD, I'm sure. But my understanding is it at least presented a different view of things than most people had considered, and I'm not sure Crash did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, my view, I guess, is just that people were tired of it.
Yeah.
Brokeback debuted a little too early.
Mm-hmm.
People spent a lot of money on Crash, trying to keep it in the eyes of the voters. And I mean, I don't think we can say that the Academy members, Hollywood is some homophobic city.
No, not at all.
It wasn't anti-gay sentiment that kept Brokeback from winning the Oscar. I mean, I really do think people were just, they were tired of the film. They'd moved on at that point.
Yeah, that's probably the most, because Brokeback premiered, and then Crash is probably the most, the movie most recently on their mind, that and aside
right,
from...
Right, because like I said, they spent a lot of money reminding people of Crash.
Mm-hmm.
They sent out, something like 15 times as many screeners as just about any other film.
Wow.
I mean, they really... really put money into promoting the film.
Yeah. Now, what about George Clooney winning for Best Supporting Actor for his movie Syriana, huh?
Yeah. Now, that... it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a well-made movie. It's a topic, I think, that all of us paying, $2 and something... Heck, in my town, the price of gas went up 20 cents a gallon in the last week.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's shooting up here in Las Vegas.
I think when you get a movie like Syriana, and you've got, obviously it was a compelling performance, but plus just the movie, I think, really, really grabbed people and wouldn't let go, because we could all relate to it, or anybody who drives can relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I saw the movie. I thought it was excellent. I mean, like I said before, that's a movie you really can't get up and go to the bathroom, and because you come back, you'll miss some kind of plot development because there's so many threads of stories going through.
Yeah, it was moving fast.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And Reese Witherspoon winning for Best Actress for playing June Carter Cash in Walk the Line, huh? That was pretty much a given, though, I think, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, I picked up that movie on DVD. It's actually already out this last week, which was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fantastic. I mean, she's just incredibly fantastic. So yeah. I don't think there was any surprise there.
No, they said that they said somehow, you know, she, you know, Joaquin Phoenix as well, that, you know, they say she really somehow channeled June Carter Cash. You know, I mean, you know, the way she, the looks, they, I mean, the members of the Cash family, you said the, some of the looks that in the movie that she gave, you know, the actor, you know, Johnny Cash in the movie were similar right. with the, you know, facial looks that their mother gave to him. Yeah, it was spooky, you know.
Yeah, that. It was definitely, I mean, you know, I guess I'm not a family member. I can't really vouch
yeah.
for all the authenticity, but certainly just what footage I've seen and, mm-hmm. and I've got some family members that are told they're Johnny Cash nuts.
Yeah.
So I've seen a decent amount of footage over the years. And I was blown away by both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do you see, I think, in a biopic that level of attention to detail or realism or what have you. It was just fantastic.
Yeah,
worth buying on DVD. Highly recommend it.
Absolutely. And she beat out Felicity Huffman and Judi Dench, which I'm sorry to see, because Judi Dench has been in business for so many years. Been nice to see her get something, you know. She's been so many movies. You know, I don't know them all. I see her on that PBS comedy show, and I flip through there. I forget what that show is called. But, I mean, maybe they'll give her, you know, a Lifetime Achievement Award or something. And, of course, she was in the Bond movies playing the female M.
Right, the consolation prize, the Lifetime Achievement Award.
There you go. Because
you never did anything quite worth awarding, but hey, overall, it's kind of added up.
Yeah, I mean, she's had a heck of a career, and then also Keira Knightley and Charlize Theron. Well, you know, yeah, but really Reese Witherspoon kind of overshadowed all of them with that role.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
The best actor went to Philip Seymour Hoffman from Capote, huh?
Capote. Yeah. Again, the homophobic voters clearly shying away. Oh no, wait, that's right. They
nah.
didn't.
I
still haven't seen Capote either.
Neither have I. I have no, you know, inkling to see that movie at all. Yeah, I just, I don't know.
Well, I'm interested just because I'm a writer. I enjoy writing. I enjoy reading good writers. And Capote, for all of his personality quirks and oddness, he was an incredible writer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody said the movie's excellent, you should go see it. I'm like, oh, Capote, it's a movie like Syriana, that grabbed me because, you know, I'm very political, like George Clooney, you know, so I haven't seen Walk the Line either, you know, same thing, I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain, you know?
Yeah, definitely gotta see Walk the Line.
Yeah. And then, where are we at here? What else happened? And then I like the line that George Clooney said after he won the Best Supporting Actor. He said that, all right, so I'm not winning director. I guess once he won Best Supporting Actor, he kind of knew he wasn't going to win Best Director, huh?
Yeah, they're not going to give him, Good Night and Good Luck and Syriana,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that one came up rather empty. Good Night, Good Luck, you know?
Well, I wonder if people might have thought it was just too much self-adulation. That doesn't... I don't know. It doesn't seem to have ever stopped the Academy before. but maybe just this once they shied away from, focusing on themselves quite that much. Because, I mean, that really, the movie was a lot about just how wonderful the press is.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know.
Well, then he went off on a little spout. He spouted off about the because Jon Stewart. You know, some people are saying he kind of stuck at the Hollywood a little much. He instead of firing his barbs politically at Washington on the Oscars, he did kind of turn his guns on the Hollywood, and he kind of poked fun. The public at large views you as a bunch of pompous, overblown ego maniacs, blah, blah, blah. And he said, there's no joke here. I'm just saying what people think of you.
There are a couple of different ways to think of that. You were talking earlier about how, I think at the time you were saying Democrats or just, liberals in general, liberal, moderate, progressive folks, they have a tendency to turn on each other, eat their own.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually seen the same thing on the other side of the aisle too, although it lately hasn't been as public. But I just wonder if he's a guy who's not afraid to speak his mind and maybe not necessarily think through how people are going to react ahead of time.
True. But I mean,
I think it's refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think Jon Stewart, he's gotten some mixed reviews with his hosting of the Oscars, so they're not sure they're going to bring him back. I don't understand. Years ago, I watched Johnny Carson do it all these years, and then, David Letterman did one. They thought it was the biggest disaster in the world. He's never been invited back.
Uma?
Uma.
Oprah.
Oprah.
Oprah. Uma. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
And it wasn't that bad. And then even Jon Stewart, who's on Larry King, he said he went back and watched that one with Letterman. He thought it was pretty good, you know. But you know, the perception is Letterman bombed. And then I don't understand why Leno has never hosted it, and why Conan O'Brien or one of them never hosted it.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems to be a thankless job, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody seems to get any respect for it ever.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in the past, at least, a huge David Letterman fan. I thought he did a reasonable job, and I actually thought the Uma Opa thing was funny, but apparently I was in the vast minority on that.
Well, go ahead.
Well, if I can talk here.
Khan's going to try and say something.
I didn't see it, but from what I've heard that everyone watched it, the only reason they'd watch it again because Jon Stewart. Because it seems like the viewers liked him.
Yeah.
And they thought he was funny and witty. A couple things he did that weren't even scripted. He just
did him.
But
yeah,
the Hollywood people,
they didn't like it.
Quote unquote Hollywood people. They're so stiff. They're stiffs.
Yeah.
That they don't laugh at his jokes because they just don't. I don't know if they go over their head or they go over their heads because they're just so stiff and they just don't. They got to be, like, scripted for them to laugh. I don't know.
Probably. You know what I mean? I understand that. You know, I like to see Conan do it next year because I think he could do a good job. And they got to start.
Oh, yeah. He'd tear the roof off.
Huh? Yeah, but Conan, to me, he's the same as Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're not going to laugh at Jon Stewart, they're not going to laugh at Conan.
Yeah. Or Leno. No,
he's hilarious. He's very ad-lib.
Yeah.
He would have the same problem.
Yeah, or Leno. Leno, he's like a Larry King. He throws the softballs at these people.
Yeah,
these
Leno
questions.
Can be quite a suck-up. He might actually work.
Yeah, they said why not? He's going to retire in a couple of years. Give him a try on the Oscars as a consolation prize. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And actually, now do you want to talk about the what these goodie bags that they got? I don't understand these goodie bags. Well, how much were these goodie bags that they got?
This year, the goodie bags. Because the big story, anytime there's an award show, is that the presenters they don't get paid cash. They get paid in these goodie bags. And of course, a few years back, everybody was all enraged because it turns out Grammy presenters got a bag valued at like $20,000. Well, that's nothing, folks. This year, someone like Jennifer Garner, who walks out on stage, trips on the way to the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Nice line, by the way. Oh, I do all my own stunts.
Yeah.
She walks out there, talks for 30 seconds, turns around and walks off the stage. She gets a goodie bag valued at $100,000.
That's ridiculous. How many presenters were there at this damn Oscars, huh?
Oh, 20,
what? 20 or 30, whoever the hell was it? That's $3 million.
I don't actually know, but I'm pretty sure it was more than 30 if you add them all up.
It's like
the funny thing is, though, the IRS, of course, is not sitting back just waiting for these things to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS Commissioner, Mark Everson, actually released a statement today basically saying, quote, movie stars face the same tax obligations as ordinary Americans, and they're wanting movie stars to understand that they're going to have to report those goodie bags on their taxes.
Oh, no. That's
and,
terrible.
As he put it, we want to make sure the stars walk the line when it comes to those goodie bags.
Or they'll be singing the Folsom County Blues when they're in jail for not claiming that.
Exactly. So they want their 30 grand to pop.
Well,
that'd be kind of nice. You get a big bag full of stuff, you know, spa passes and jewel-encrusted iPods or whatever was in them this year. And
like they need it.
Yeah, you think it's all free, and then you realize, no, actually, it costs 30 grand.
So those bags, gift bags, $100,000 each gift bags count as income for these celebrities, right?
That's exactly right.
That's unbelievable. You know what? Whoever's running these Oscars could give them an option or, you know, to check off. Oh, instead of giving us these, you can go donate the money to the Katrina Fund or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Can I please not have a big gift, please?
Yeah. Why are these celebrities? These celebrities would show up with a bag or not just to get their faces on TV because, what was it, 40 million viewers or whatever it is watch the Oscars? Yeah, they would show up even without the goodie bags, you know, because their egos are so huge, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no,
I mean, like Jessica Alba, she showed up. Why the heck was she there?
Who knows? The pickup guys.
In the running for something. No.
She's picking up men.
Into the blue.
Yeah. Well, I saw something else. I think it was in USA Today.
I saw her on Fantastic Four.
Oh, she's hot.
And, well,
they don't give an Oscar for being hot, though.
No.
Not
but,
yet.
If so, though, she could arm wrestle Jennifer Garner for it.
Out of The whole movie was great, and I thought they could have stuck anyone there. She was not that good in Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
She's not that good. She's not good of an actress.
Yeah, well, I mean, same thing. I read something where, speaking of that, I read somewhere, I think it was USA Today, that they mentioned that, Jack Nicholson spotted Nicole Kidman backstage, I guess made a beeline for her, and I guess he's flirting with her, and yada, yada. I guess when he walked away, they said she covered her mouth and said, giddily saying, oh, my God. So I don't know if that was good or bad that he was flirting with her or what. But that was like a cross-section of Batman movies there, huh? Nicholson from the first one, and Nicole Kidman from the – wasn't she in the second one?
The third one,
yeah. So that was odd.
Well,
yeah.
Since Batman Begins came out, I've tried to forget all those earlier Batman movies, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, another thing I mentioned a couple weeks ago about these ads. I don't know if you watch NBC. They trot out these celebrity ads, more you know, and they tell you how to live your lives and all that.
Sure.
It's like, who are these celebrities to tell us how to live our lives? Like, we're all stupid, you know? Yeah, how do I get along with my life before a celebrity showed up on a 15-second ad telling me how to eat dinner with my family? What the hell?
Yeah. Because those Hollywood stars, every one of them sits down every night with all their extended family.
Oh, yes. Yes, shooting up on heroin and fooling around on their spouses. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, the family that snorts coke together stays together. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, now, the issue, speaking of criminals in Hollywood or whatever it was, you want to talk about Gary Glitter.
Yeah, the blast from the past, okay? Mm-hmm. Gary Glitter, this is the guy responsible for Rock and Roll Part 2, which they still play at hockey games, basketball games, football games, any kind of sports event you can imagine. It's the da-da-da-da-da-da, hey, that song, you know?
Yeah.
He's milked that thing for, 30 years now, and he's been convicted in Vietnam. Well, I mean, let's back up, okay? In 99, he's convicted of possessing child pornography in Britain.
Uh-huh.
So he serves 2 months in prison, because apparently child pornography isn't that big of a deal in Britain, moves to Cambodia. In December 2002, he's expelled from Cambodia for suspected sex offenses, so he moved to Vietnam.
Hmm, lovely.
Now in Vietnam, he has been found guilty of molesting an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old girl.
Horrible. 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 We're playing his music as a tribute to Gary Glitter.
Yeah, but there you go. I can barely hear it, but I still catch it.
We'll turn it up a little bit. There it is.
There we go. So, yeah.
He's made money off of
it. He's been milking this thing for 30-some-odd years.
You're kidding.
He apparently was up on charges of child rape, which could have meant death by firing squad.
Where's he at now?
But no, he apparently was only convicted of molesting the girls, so he's got to pay like $315 fine and serve 3 years in prison.
Unbelievable.
And then when he's done with prison, they're going to kick him out of the country. I think he's probably running out of countries where
maybe he'll go to France or something, huh?
Do they convict for child molestation over there? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Roman Polanski has been living there for years, and he did something with underage.
Yeah, you got to be careful though. He might try to sue you in England.
Oh,
this podcast might be picked up in England. I'm sure that Roman Polanski is absolutely innocent of all charges against him, despite the whatever evidence.
Yes, despite he's been over in France for the last 30 years and refused to come back. Did he win an Oscar or something or some kind of award?
Yeah, they had to accept it remotely.
Yeah, they had a FedEx it to him or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. And also, only got a couple minutes. Do you want to talk about Showtime supposedly ordering 26 episodes of Arrested Development, huh?
Yeah.
What happened there? I thought ABC was going to pick it up.
I don't really care who picks it up.
Yeah.
Someone picks it up.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I'm a major fan.
So
I love the show.
Excellent. Reminds me of soap.
I wish more people watched it. Mm. What can I say? It, unfortunately, it is a show. You kind of have to start at season one, episode one, and go through, or you do miss things.
Yeah.
But I watched season three. Just finished watching season three recently, and I've got to say, I mean, that's possibly the last season ever.
Mm.
But that was some of the best. The best writing they've had in 3 years.
Yeah, the cast is incredible. You know, you got Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
You got Jessica Walter. She's been around for years.
Portia de Rossi.
Trapper John, M.D., and all that. Jeffrey Tambor. We know him from from Gary Shandling.
David Cross.
Yes, and then also
he's one of the funniest guys alive.
Yeah, I mean it's an outstanding cast. I mean it's one of those shows. It's like soap. Soap really didn't set the world on fire when it was on, but it was excellent. It was critically acclaimed and everything. It knocked down a lot of barriers with.
Right.
Same thing with Arrested Development.
Yeah, but, Arrested Development might certainly help to knock down barriers between cousins, say, for example.
Yeah,
sorry. In jokes for people who haven't watched the show, I'm sorry. Yeah. But anyway, so it's been canceled, and in fact, they've made funny references all along to the trouble they were having. They're home builders, so they had references, I think, early in the second season about, you know, did you hear that we've been cut from 22 homes down to 18? At the end of the third season, they started talking about whether they could get any legal funding from the Home Builders Association.
There you go.
No, HBO's not going to help us. Well, then it's probably Showtime.
And, there you go.
You know, very, very clever references, but in the end, they were somewhat unceremoniously dumped by Fox.
Yeah.
To Fox's credit, I think they gave him a chance, maybe several chances.
Well, how about that new show that's on? I think it started tonight. It's Sons and Daughters. It's supposed to be very similar to Arrested Development, but it's more as the they give the actors an outline of the story and they kind of ad lib their lines.
Yeah, and I've never been much for one. A lot of people really enjoy that style. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people who loved Seinfeld but hated Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And I don't get into that living thing. Hmm. But the big rumor is, Showtime may have ordered, it has been reported by Page Six in the New York, wherever, Post, I think. No.
Yes, New York Post, yes.
That Showtime has ordered 26 episodes, which would be two seasons of Arrested Development.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they've refused to confirm or deny it so far.
Hmm.
But I'm like, you know, holding my breath, crossing my fingers, wishing as hard as I can that they do in fact get picked up for two more seasons. It's just a fantastic show. Everybody ought to rush out, rent or buy it on DVD, watch every episode. I certainly won't advocate any sort of file sharing stuff, but does iTunes carry them? You know, that sort of thing. You've got to support that show.
Absolutely. I mean, some of these niche shows like Arrested Development and like Galactica, they need the core of the fans to stick with it, you know?
Absolutely.
Keep Arrested Development going and hopefully end up on Showtime or ABC. Maybe they can work on a deal whereas the first run of these episodes will air on Showtime and then ABC will be able to air it during the summer or something like that. I mean, that might be an ideal.
Some of their funniest moments involved basically the censors at Fox and what they let them get away with or not get away with. So having it on Showtime might actually kill that element of it unless they pretend they're still censored.
That might be it. I mean, it's... who knows? I mean, unless they can still treat it, like it's on Fox, but it's on Showtime. They won't even acknowledge it's on Showtime.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but anyway, Philip, we have to let you go at the end of our segment.
All right.
And we thank you for being on.
Well, thanks for allowing me back.
No problem.
After I didn't show up last week.
No problem. Who's up next week? Do we know offhand real quick? Is it Joan Hunt?
You know, I'd have to check my schedule.
Oh, okay.
Whoever it was, we bumped them tonight, so...
Well, okay. Well, that's our music. Okay, Philip, we have to let you go.
All right.
All right.
Check
thank
out
you very much.
Blogcritics.org, everybody.
Blogcritics.org. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Bye. And that was Philip Wynn of Blogcritics.org with our pop culture discussion. We thank him for being on. And just in a moment or so, we'll be joined by Koenig Rules with our Battlestar Galactica review and Doctor Who teaser. And he's promised some spoilers that pertains to Galactica. So if you're not interested in the spoilers, I suggest you tune out because hopefully you'll have some juicy spoilers for us. You know, this is the all-spoiler zone here on Subject to Discussion. And once again, this is live on Tuesday night. I got to give Koenig a little signal to call in. And also we thank antiradio.net for posting the podcast. And we thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And... first of all, before we get to the Galactica review, I get this little bit of news here from Entertainment Tonight that Travolta and Latifah are going to stick to Hairspray. Oh, this is a show just opened here in Las Vegas. They're going to make a movie out of Hairspray. John Travolta and Queen Latifah have just signed on to star in the musical Hairspray, a big screen adaptation of the hit Broadway stage show, according to Daily Variety. Travolta is going to play Edna Trumblad, and Latifah will portray Motormouth Maybell. Of course, Edna is the one that, who's that guy? He's got that voice. What the hell his name is? But anyway, he's been in that show. He's playing here in Vegas, so they're making a movie of Hairspray with Travolta and Queen Latifah in the movie. So that's interesting. And then we have some of the ratings. I just wanted to touch on some of the stuff. Well, who cares about the ratings? We'll skip the ratings. And we've got Charmed has been canceled by the WB. The Charmed show will not be bewitching the new CW network next season. The WB confirmed that the show has been canceled. So that show is going away finally after all these years. I guess not even Nick Lachey can save it. CBS picks up 14 shows for next season, including Criminal Minds, Ghost Whisperer, and How I Met Your Mother, as well as all the CSIs, and they've all been picked up. King of Queens is still on the bubble. Still Standing and Yes, Dear are canceled. What else? Simon Baker, who was in that show, The Guardian, he's going to be in a new drama for CBS called Smith. A drama pilot told from a criminal's point of view. What the hell? How many more of these damn crime shows do we need? And also, Andy Richter is going to get a TV pilot with a show being produced by Conan O'Brien's company. It's going to be about a reluctant private eye. Apparently, his character is going to be running an office that used to be a PI's office, and he gets dragged into being a PI with the office there. So I think we'll be joined by Koenig Rules with our Battlestar Galactica discussion, review, and Doctor Who teaser. Tony Gruels, are you there with us, sir?
Hello.
Hello. Koenig, are you there?
Yes.
There you are. Welcome back to the program.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, just fine.
Yes. Now, first we get to... I don't want to spoil the season finale, but now is... I don't know if you saw in the... I mentioned it before. I heard an idea of what's going to happen on the season finale. It's going to be kind of sort of like the Pam Ewing dream on Dallas.
Well, they advanced the show 1 year.
So, that spoils it right there.
Sorry.
I didn't want to, I gave everybody warning anyway. But anyway, so they're going to do, they are going to do it. You're sure that's going to happen?
I am sure.
Wow.
That they have the the text on the screen that says 1 year later.
Oh, you're kidding. So,
well, you know, I mean, they land on what is supposedly called New Caprica, and they colonize it. So that's why Starbuck in the ad says longer here.
He's
with Anders, and the chief is with Callie.
I see.
And here's another spoiler that...
Speaking of spoilers, here comes the old ship.
Here's another spoiler
that
I'm not even going to be typing this up after the show.
Uh-oh.
But so it will only be heard here.
Uh-oh, it's exclusive.
Callie is pregnant with the chief's child.
Oh my god.
So two major characters are supposed to get married. And I'm not sure if it's the chief and Kelly or maybe Starbuck and Anders.
Whoa, really?
I don't know which it is, but
so now is Anders going to be a part of the cast?
Well, he's... See, there's been a lot of spoilers listed on the sci-fi board, and Ron Moore is up in arms.
Yeah, he's
pissed.
Which
means that it's accurate. Anders is dying.
Oh, because of the radiation by being on that planet, huh?
Yeah, I think so. And so if he is going to be in a season three, it probably won't be too much. So.
Really? So, that's amazing. So.
Yeah.
So.
But people don't like the 1 year later, and I figure, well, it's been going, you know, like almost on a day by day basis. Mm-hmm. So I think this will move it along a little bit. When you think about it, at the end of Downloaded, mm-hmm. Boomer and Six were going to try to bring a new order into existence. They can't do it all at once.
No.
So you're thinking that within a year, maybe they can make some inroads in terms of developing this peace truce with the humans by that time.
Yeah, now, and a year later, we'll almost have a beard and...
mustache.
You'll have a mustache.
Yes.
And then how about a tie? Will he still be around?
I don't know. You know, I'm really disappointed this season with Ty.
Yeah.
I mean, out of all the characters. The Chief came back really strong
last week. Oh, that was incredible. You beat the hell out of Cali.
And you know what? I was looking at the boards to see if some of the original series fans would be outraged by what the Chief did. Not a peep. I mean, that Pegasus attempted rape got so much more coverage, and it was an attempted rape. I thought last week was so much more intense than that attempted rape with Boomer, because you see the Chief pummeling Kelly, and she's bleeding all over the place, and it's like, whoa, not a peep on any of the boards in terms of, oh, this is so bad, this is so offensive. So I don't know what gives, but I was a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I got a spoiler here, courtesy of Ebnetter here. I don't know if you're ready for this spoiler.
Okay.
Because she was at the convention over the weekend and bumped into Katie Sackhoff. She says that Starbuck and Anders are married.
Okay. Well, see, it was one or the other. But Kelly is still having the Chief's baby.
Wow.
And you only heard it here.
Wow. And then
that's not on any of the boards or anything.
Wow.
Like
and
that.
Anders has pneumonia, of all things. So amazing.
Pneumonia?
Pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Ammonia. Ammonia peroxide. Now, what about the ratings here? I had some of the ratings.
1.7 for Captain's Hand. See, we're more than a week behind. So did you get the ratings for Downloaded?
No, I didn't get. Well, no, wait a minute. Somebody said it was a 1.6 or something. I thought I had it here. It was on Galactica Station, wasn't it? It was like a
I thought it was 1.7.
Something like that. 1.7, and somebody else said it could be a 1.6. But no, we only have any ratings from last week's the first parter. No.
Not
yet. So now, don't forget, this Friday is 90-minute finale. A lot of people are forgetting to reset their VCRs. It's 90 minutes this Friday for Galactica, and then the next week is Doctor Who.
Yes, and I know you're looking forward to that.
I am.
But and so am I. But I've heard so many fans complaining about the direction of Galactica, and I just think, well, let Ron Moore do what he wants to do. If he's going to throw in a wrench here, if he's going to advance relationships, move it up a year. I mean, we have no aliens.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't have the standard sci-fi fare. So the most he can do is, well, let's move the story along, and maybe we'll continue to do that so that, you know, the novelty won't wear off.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to know how much longer the Pegasus is going to be around.
Yeah, obviously, if they advance the show a year, obviously the Pegasus is going to be hanging around then, huh?
Right.
Now, I hope we got an air spoiler in the chat room. Sci-Fi saying that both Starbuck, Anders, and Callie and Tyrell both get married. It's a double wedding.
I was right on both counts.
You know what? I think Captain Steubing gives the vows. And Boxy shows up. And Boxy's the ring bearer of the wedding.
But
I mean, what the hell?
Did you see on the boards that Ron Moore is really disgusted with all the leaks and spoilers?
Oh, he's mad. How else? Now somebody's got to be leaking this. Cause how else could people have the stills from the episode itself? So somebody
got to be someone close to the production. I mean, I know a couple people.
Or the network. Somebody at the network had to leak it out.
Yeah, but I would think it's not going to hurt the popularity of the show.
No,
I don't think so either. If anything, it probably will add to it.
Yeah, I like that. The last week's episode was outstanding. You know, and going back to this thing with the Pegasus, you know, all hell broke loose when the people were about that rape. What?
Because
people hold the Pegasus as holy grail. You know, I mean, same thing.
Right.
Same thing when I started my there's a segment about Galactica and they play in the old music with all this stuff. How dare you play the new old music with the new show? And I'm like, oh my god, who cares?
But they've quieted down a bit.
Yeah.
Because I would have thought that they would have really jumped a lot more in terms of the ratings and things like that, but it's gotten so much good coverage with the press. I really think even with these ratings, it's going to be on for a while, only because it's bringing a lot of recognition to sci-fi, and the Stargates are doing miserably. I mean,
have
you seen, like, Stargate Atlantis has reached an all-time low?
Yeah.
SG-1 has been doing really bad lately.
Yeah.
So
I think they got to cancel SG-1, and then I'd move up Atlantis to the 8 o'clock time slot and stick in Doctor Who in between Atlantis.
I don't know why. I think people may be getting tired
mm-hmm.
of this schedule, which
yeah.
has been what? Well, with the Stargates, haven't they been going 3 years now, right? With Battlestar, 2 years.
Yeah.
I think people are getting a little bit tired with the same lineup. They want some change.
Well,
you know?
Well, the Stargates, it's the same basic premise. It's the damn Stargate on both shows. You know?
Right.
Firefly,
yeah. But you know, I don't know about any word on Firefly, Koenig?
The only thing I heard was that while Josh Whedon doesn't think that another major motion picture is likely, he is entertaining the possibility of maybe a TV movie, or not Firefly, but now it would take off from where Serenity.
So oh, really?
It would probably be, if there would be a new series or limited run series, mm-hmm. it would be featuring the title Serenity, no longer Firefly.
Really?
But I mean, I would think that Sci-Fi would seriously consider it, because it did well in its airings,
mm-hmm.
and I think doing a series of made-for-TV movies, or even a limited-run series of 13 episodes for one season, try that out, and it's got the potential, and it's very similar to Battlestar.
Yeah, actually,
hey, since Sci-Fi is on this whole remake.
Yeah, remake.
Just like the Hollywood
yeah.
with the movies. Now we got Doctor Who.
Galactica.
Battlestar. How about Buck Rogers?
Oh, how about a Buck Rogers remake?
Oh, I would love to see Ron Moore do Buck Rogers. Because it was so campy, he would probably make it.
with what's that
Tweaky. Have you heard the latest, too?
Oh, no.
With Doctor Who?
Oh, what's that?
And remember I mentioned that there was going to be another spin-off.
Yeah, but with
series,
the dog, with K-9.
Yes, K-9. Sarah
yes.
Jane Smith and K-9. Well,
yeah.
That looks like that might be more reality
oh.
than just so a children's show.
Oh.
It's going to be more children.
Oh, that's right. Now is Ron Moore going to spin Muffet off into his own kids show on Saturday mornings?
So. It would be cool just to see him put that character.
You know
in.
What? If they want ratings,
you know, like
that's a good
like
idea.
Maybe something on New Caprica or something. Because
if you look at
that's
the
right.
cable ratings,
yeah.
yeah.
The children,
usually,
SpongeBob.
Like Nickelodeon shows, like
yeah.
top eight. So if they did a children's show, like a spinoff on Sci-Fi Saturday mornings, they'd probably get a good...
Yeah, right. A lot better than a damn soap opera, The Running Passions, you know?
Yes.
Now,
so I am recording it every day and watching it at night.
Passions? Well, I don't know really what kind. What that has to do with science fiction, but, you know.
I know.
Oh, well.
It's just goofy.
Yeah, and then, so any idea what's coming in the third season of Galactica?
There was a rumor that a major character was going to be killed off at the start of season 3.
Uh-oh. Now, is that a major character that's in the opening music or in the like, also starring bit? When this
in the opening music.
Uh-oh.
But the latest was that no one's going to die.
Oh.
So maybe at one point they were thinking of perhaps eliminating a cast member, but now they're thinking they're going to keep everyone, which is good
mm.
because I can't possibly imagine if you kill off an Apollo or Starbuck, or even Adama or Roslyn at this point. Even if you kill off Roslyn at this point after she's been saved, it'll look all contrived.
Yeah, that's kind of cheap. I mean, you can see them killing off Ty. I could see, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
or...
because Ty, have you noticed? His role has been...
Oh,
he
yeah.
just looks all concerned, you know? And
yeah.
That's about all he does, a couple of minutes, and that's it.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything since Adama came back, basically.
That's right. I mean, he was great when Adama had left, but
yeah.
now it's sort of...
Well, no, he was kind of prominent in the... Which one was that? He had a few lines in the one with the... when they're held prisoner on the ship, his wife and
right.
Apollo and
right.
all that.
That was...
Captain
that
Tan?
Wasn't Black. Sacrifice.
Sacrifice? I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, Sacrifice.
Yeah, I can't get all these names mixed up. Now, Downloaded didn't do too well either. Everybody expected that one to do well because the fans always wanted to see.
So you have the ratings on Downloaded?
Well, somebody said Downloaded. I got that off I don't think I brought it with me. I thought I did.
1.6.
Something like that. And a lot of people, I think it was on Galactica Station, were saying that it weren't very, you know, surprisingly, since all the fans wanted this episode, and that it didn't do as well as they thought.
Wow.
Know?
I didn't see that. I saw Devil's Hand was Devil's Hand.
Captain's Hand
was 1.7.
Yeah. So now, so we get this straight. People, a few people joined us, as we're talking. So
right.
Now we're saying that you know, at the end of the episode of Galactica, they'll say 1 year later. Now they're all going to be down on the planet, the colonizing
yes.
the planet. So that means
yes.
Baltar must be going to win the election, then, huh?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
And then so they'll be colonizing.
Even though Rosalyn wants to try to discredit him
really?
As much as possible. Yep. He
now,
wins the election. So
now, are Adama and Rosalyn going to be together at the end of the episode too, or what?
Well, they say some interesting things happen with
really?
Rosalyn and Adama, but
uh-oh.
I don't know what.
So where's the Galactica going to be when they're all down on the planet?
I think the Galactica and Pegasus are still going to be up in space. No, they're not going to land on the planet.
Yeah, that's
like
what I was thinking.
Voyager.
And where's the fleet? The fleet's going to land?
That's a good question. They,
yeah.
they say the last 10 to 15 minutes, you've really got to be attentive because there's a lot of
happening.
Major things going on.
It'd be kind of cool if they didn't have any commercials in the last 30 minutes. It just goes straight
yeah,
through.
Would,
that'd be nice.
It would be.
Yeah.
I still think after you saw Downloaded and you saw Baltar there,
yeah.
that he's more than human.
Oh, yeah. He's
I mean, when you saw the nuke blasting his house, how can the guy survive?
Yeah, I think...
I mean, people say...
yeah,
well,
I never understood that part. I never understood that part.
Yeah,
he's,
no.
I think he's actually the
Cylon
God.
Cylon model or the Cylon God.
That's, I think
well,
he's Cylon God.
I've been always waiting, you know, because the original series, you wait, you kind of... Like, I don't know how many episodes it took, but Baltar turns bad and he's the leader.
Yeah, he's up in the chair, swiveling.
Right,
yeah.
So it's
yeah,
kind of like, to me, it's kind of like, you know, when they came out with Star Wars, the new episodes, well, you know, Luke Skywalker's dad is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. You know, Baltar is kind of the
right.
leader.
He's number one.
Yeah.
Remember, we don't know who number one is.
True.
He's number one.
Yeah, there's six. I'm number six. Yeah, who's number one? Yeah, he's probably...
There's seven, right?
No, there's 12 models.
12
models. And
no,
she's six. And then they mentioned...
And Boomer is eight.
Eight.
And Deanna is
three. Where's the
three.
Others?
The
others, counted like five.
The
six.
Other, I think, is Dean Stockwell. He's one of them,
yes.
I think.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be revealed on Friday's episode. That
oh,
Dean
why would
Stockwell
he be a Cylon?
Is a Cylon.
He's,
because remember, he said...
I was at the meetings. I never saw you at the meetings.
Yes, yes. And, which basically means
he's a Cylon.
He's at the meetings.
Yeah, and then he's gonna. They supposedly at the end of this episode coming, they're gonna say that he's been there all along in
right,
the fleet, right?
Right.
So,
right. Which means he can have a recurring part, which would be real cool. I like him.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if?
huh?
What's his name?
What? Adama?
No, the guy in Quantum Leap. I can't remember his name.
Which one?
Scott Bakula.
Yeah,
he
shows
in,
up?
Leaps.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I think the Star Trek fans have a coronary. He shows up on Galactica.
I think they would have a coronary if any of the Star Trek people
actually,
showed up. Though Trip did show up on Stargate Atlantis.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And
Abnetter, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Abnetter is saying that Doral is number five.
Okay, right.
Yeah, Doral's five, six, and Boomer is what? What is she?
Eight.
I think she's 69, I think. But so you know, and she's also saying, Sci-Fi's in the chat room saying, Callus said in a recent interview that Baltar is definitely human. Well, how's he know until Moore writes the damn thing?
Well, the thing is, if he's human, then why isn't he suffering from radiation poisoning?
Yeah.
Because on Caprica, that blast hit his house.
Yeah.
I think that's just a cover.
She couldn't shield him from a nuclear blast like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, scrawny body?
Yeah. And also, Abnetter is an earth spoiler. She's saying that Dean Stockwell gets spaced.
Gets what?
Shot out into space.
Shot out into space?
Because he's a Cylon. Rosalyn sends him out the airlock.
Well...
Who knows?
There's more copies.
I don't know. And she said she's saying that Rosalyn's on the planet and the Galactica
right.
is up in space still.
In
with
right.
almost.
Okay. And Rosalyn is because she lost the presidency, she's resuming her role as school teacher.
Oh, you're kidding me. What is going on?
I hope.
Mean, it would be somewhat cool if they have this story for a while because at the very least, they might be able to draw in a new group of fans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's starting out season three on the planet, though, I'm not sure. I mean, if they're on that planet, they're sitting ducks.
Yeah.
You know,
so
I mean,
they'll send the Pegasus into the planet.
They don't. I like the last week's show as well.
Yeah.
Where they showed the Cylon's view about.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's like, Baltar's alive?
Yeah, she didn't know.
I hope they continue with their character, their, like,
romance.
Cylon character.
Yeah.
Trying to get back to
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They said that in season three, they're going to be. Season two was supposed to be more focusing on the dark side of the humans.
Hmm.
Season three is supposed to be focusing more on the Cylon.
Really?
Which will be real cool, because I thought one of the best episodes was Downloaded. I really did. I thought, when I saw that, this is so different from the original show that they should have more of this storyline. So my guess is they're going to do that in season three.
Ebnetter is, more spoilers from Ebnetter.
Okay.
She's saying that the Cylons are already on the, at the planet at the end of the show. So it must be, that's how they're going to leave. All hell's going to be breaking loose at the end of the show because the Cylons are there.
Well, it would.
Wow.
It would make sense if Dean Stockwell is a Cylon.
Yeah.
He's been telling the other Cylons where they are. So, you know.
I don't know. It's going to be a hell of an episode. I apologize for those who are, you know, people don't want to hear the spoilers. We're giving the spoilers, but yeah, it's different hearing it and seeing it as two different things.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah. I, you know, but there was one person. I think his name was Digital Alchemist. On the sci-fi board, they must have listed 20 to 25 things that happen in the episode.
Wow.
And I could see why Ron Moore is really pissed, because it's almost like, well, why don't you just reveal everything and then a person doesn't have to see the episode?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know how he got his information, but it would be unfortunate now if Ron puts a clamp on everything and then I may not even be able to get the one or two tidbits that I'm getting simply because no leaks are supposed to be occurring. So.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a shame. I mean, one idiot ruins it for everybody else.
That's right, that's right. And why post it on, of all boards, the sci-fi board?
Oh, yeah.
Because that is so undisciplined and so unmanaged. I mean, you have the purists, the original series fans coming in there and beefing, and then you got some of the neurotic new series fans. I mean, it's just a free-for-all. It's a mess.
Yeah, that board a year ago used to be a little more manageable, but now it's like, you know, it's like a zoo in that, message board.
They don't lock the threads either. At one point, they were locking threads right and left, but...
Well, not only that, they delete entire threads, you know, for something stupid. You know, I didn't agree how, you know, all that, but at least some discipline on that board.
That's right.
You know, and then so what else? So we got the Pegasus. So we're guessing at the end of the episode, the Pegasus is still around.
Yep.
And it's a year later. So I wonder if Apollo is going to be with Dee still at the end of this episode.
Cause Apollo's up on the Pegasus, I believe.
Yeah. So
he's commanding the Pegasus.
Yeah. So that, and these ships are all going to be circling the planet for a year. For a year.
I guess the president's calling the shots here, President Baltar. You know.
That's amazing.
And it's interesting if Adama is following through, but. Then again, you got to realize, too, that the humans want to desperately find a place to call their own. Mm-hmm. So maybe Adama's afraid that there will be an insurrection or something.
Unless he takes off, you know, with the Galactica, you know, from the planet. You know,
right.
You finally do whatever you want. I'm taking off with the you know, the fleet.
Right.
You know, or whoever stays with him, he takes off with him, rather than circling a planet and be a shooting gallery for the Cylons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, I liked, you know what, the episode, which one was that, when the Pegasus jumped away? I can't remember all the names of these episodes. I'm sorry, you know, the names escape me. When the Pegasus jumped to find the missing Raptors and that damn Silent Base Star show, that was
Captain's Hand.
Yeah, that was outstanding.
That got a 1.7.
You think that, well, I mean, I thought the effects were cool, because as soon as the base star, you know, jumped, the damn missiles start flying. I thought,
Oh, yeah, the special effects on that one was a lot better than Resurrection Ship. I was really expecting. They touted Resurrection Ship no end, and
Yeah.
The effects may have been a minute or two, but in Captain's hands, it was like a good 4 to 5 minutes.
Correct. Yeah, and they showed a ship with the main guns on the top firing, which we haven't seen that before.
That was cool.
Yeah, and I like that. And then that was a good episode. I mean, it's incredible how they take us up and they lower us down, like lower the expectations with a couple of really like humdrum episodes.
Right.
And then they bring it back up for the season finale now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this one was incredible how with Tyrell beating the hell out of Callie. And
I know.
How
it was sort of like, whoa.
Yeah.
What's going on here and why? Again, I keep saying, why weren't some of these idiot fans getting so outraged by that? And I think that's why the Tyro sometimes goes on the boards, and he was just so frustrated that people were objecting to what was an attempted rape, because he knew that this scene was coming up with him.
Mm. Yeah.
Much more intense, much more graphic. In fact, they had that warning at the beginning.
Yeah. Now, do we know if Hilo and Boomer stay on Caprica, or will they come back with the rest of them?
That I don't know.
That'll be interesting, because I think, weren't they kind of hinting that they were going to stay there at the end of the episode or something? Something was going on.
Yeah, they were. And, of course, there's the baby.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's going to play into it, too, because now at the end of the episode, is the kid going to be like 14 years old? Or what?
I hope they don't do that, but on the other hand, they probably will have to have him her advance in years a little bit if this show is going to end in 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah, so now, well, the baby is really Baltars and Sixes, right? It's not Boomers and Hilos, is that right?
Well,
because Six keeps saying
Boomer had
Six
sex with Hilo.
Well, yeah, but Six keeps saying it's their baby.
Right?
Well, yeah, but Six keeps saying it's their baby, and Baltar's baby.
I know. And see, that's another reason why Baltar is designated to be something so great here. Mm-hmm. This is your baby, Baltar. I mean, if there wasn't something of major import with this character, I just think he's more than human.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
He doesn't know it.
Yeah,
like
actually,
it's one of those sleeper agents.
Yeah, and we got one more spoiler from Ebnetter here. I think we're up to we're at 16 now, aren't we? But no, she's saying that the Battlestars and the fleet jump away when the Cylons show up.
Why do they jump away?
I don't know. But maybe to regroup for an attack. I don't know.
Unless they're trying to lead them away,
so
that they don't think that they've colonized
the planet. That could be.
Because,
they said, the Cylons will never find this planet because it's behind the whatever the hell the field it is.
That nebula.
Now, is that the nebula that was in Star Trek? Was that the Mu Tower nebula that was in number 2, the Wrath of Khan? Is in that nebula? I think it is. Maybe Ricardo Montalban would be the Cylon god. It'd be Khan after all this time. He's still alive, isn't he?
I think so. I mean, I'm losing track of who's alive and who isn't.
He'd be saying, with my last breath, I spit at thee. He'd be spitting at Adama there on the screen. But who knows where we're going to go with this. Sounds like the cliffhanger is going to be, now according to the Bear McCreary, the music's going to be top notch, the way it sounds.
Yeah, it's going to come out in June.
Yeah. No, I mean, for the season finale.
And I'm sure the music for the season finale is also going to be part of the disc that's coming out in June.
They say it's 50 minutes of original music for the season finale.
Maybe they'll release a separate one just